I'd like to ask a question about the concept of grace. Now, grace may be understood as something that is given, although not quite earned. And when we consider the relationship of a disciple to his master, is it conceivable that a disciple who may have attained 90% cosmic consciousness is given the remaining 10% to the grace of his master?
In the field of grace, there are three fields: grace of the self, grace of the teacher, and grace of God. Now, there is a very old proverb: God helps those who help themselves. Same is true of a teacher. A student has to go to the school, get his name registered. Once he is registered, the grace of the teacher comes. And then his grace is most primary, because there is another proverb, no? Everyone has to carry his own cross. In the field of evolution, whatever help may come from outside, but one has to evolve by oneself. I said some other day that transcendental meditation cannot be taught to anyone whatsoever. It can be learnt by everyone. It can only be learnt. This is true of any subject, any branch of learning. No one can teach anyone if he is not prepared to learn. But everyone can learn if he is prepared to learn. So the grace of the self is the primary grace. On that basis of grace, the help from teacher comes. The grace of the teacher is that he would not hide anything. He would just give out as much as he knows. That is his grace. Without hiding, he comes out in open and say, this is this thing, this is this. If he is not pleased with this student, somehow, if he has displeased him, he may not give him the full wisdom from his side. So, to give out the wisdom without inhibitions is the grace of the teacher. How much the student is able to assimilate and make his own and master it and rise on to the level of wisdom, there is some unseen force, a hand of unseen force, support from nature. And this will depend upon how the life of the student has been and is. If his life is good and neat and clear and sincere, innocent, fine, the grace works. The grace means help from nature comes automatically very much. And if there is something not very clear, then the resistance from nature is produced very naturally. So these are the three fields of grace. Now, talking of the grace of God, that is the most benevolent thing in life. It is so profusely present within everyone. God being almighty and merciful, He has filled His grace. He is present with His full grace every everywhere throughout creation, in and out of everyone. It's a matter of how much we use of him. The electricity is there. How much is the bulb in hand to put? 5 candle power? 100? 10,000? Million? The line is there, ready. Whatever bulb is put in, the line is ready to supply. The grace of God is so full because of the perfection of human nervous system. There is nothing more with God to give man than what he has already conferred unto him. He doesn't have anything more to give than what he has already given man. Now it's necessary for man to start using that great gift of the Almighty, Merciful Father. And the greatest gift of God is perfect human nervous system with infinite being pervading it, along with mind's natural tendency to seek it. Two things. The instrument is perfect. The infinite is pervading it. And the mind, which is seeking for more and more, is of a habit of enjoying more and more. And therefore, all the aspects of life are so fully prepared to enjoy all the maximum that God has already given to man. What is there with God to give to man more than the absolute bliss consciousness which belongs to the inner area of man's life? God can't give more than the absolute already. God can't give any more ability to man than directly cognizing and living the celestial field of life in his day-to-day living. Therefore, having made human nervous system, God may sometimes feel bankrupt. There is nothing more for him to make, nothing more for him to give. And this is that machinery from where we could draw his grace as much as we can draw. He is ready to, it's there, the line is there, it's made. Put in the bulb and that much energy will be drawn. Any amount could be consumed. So regarding the grace of God, man has not to earn any more grace than is already filled within him. Already filled within him. We don't have to earn the grace of God. We start using it. The whole wealth of the world is put in our inner room. Go in the room and bring it out, and go in the room and bring it out. And any time, any number of times you could go in, and any number of times you could come out, any amount you could draw, it is an inexhaustible treasure. You can flood your market with it. It's all in vain to look to God. Live in friendship with him. It's there already. Draw any amount of grace. Rise to any height that you want. Do anything with your life that you want to do. Absolute freedom. Absolute infinite value of bliss. Infinite ocean of love and the ability of living universal love in day-to-day life. what more is there with God to give us? It's only a matter of using His grace, living His grace. Faith in God doesn't help, as faith in the bank does not help a man in the market. Contact with the bank, entry into the bank, withdrawal from the bank, this is a way of using the bank in the market and benefiting from there. Faith in the bank. My friend is a great manager of a World Bank. Fine. You'll not be able to buy anything in the market unless you have at least phoned to him. He can phone to a merchant. Contact, direct use is necessary. Because, see, man has been suffering all throughout the ages. Why? Just because he was asked to have faith in God, to sing His praise, hope that someday He will dawn and someday His grace will come unto us. What is all that waste of time? Someday, and that day never comes. No. In ignorance only man has suffered. In ignorance only man can suffer. In ignorance only will man continue to suffer. And knowledge is recognition of the grace of God being full in its infinite value, in and out of man, both ways. It's a matter of using it. And transcendental meditation is a way to use it. We have to be a little bit more practical, particularly in this age.
I sort of use the word like ecstasy before this course, and I'm sure that's not the meaning of the word bliss.
No, not. Ecstasy is not bliss. Ecstasy, again, is a wave. Bliss is the ocean of life. And when we say ocean, we can say infinite happiness. When we say infinite, it goes beyond the relative. It's absolute. Absolute happiness is bliss. Ocean of happiness, ocean of existence, ocean of intelligence, ocean of life is bliss. Ecstasy is a good, strong wave of it. A wave of it. And all the happiness that we find here and there in all these things, through all these senses, these are all the small waves, ripples. Sometimes they rise high, sometimes they're small. But they are all the waves of in that ocean of happiness, infinite happiness or bliss. Ecstasy is just a wave. Now, just as a matter is all energy, but this matter may have such great energy, very great energy, but it does not exhibit any energy. Like that, bliss is ocean of happiness, but that in itself is absolute happiness. And absolute happiness does not exhibit any quality of happiness. A sugar particle on the tongue, and you increase the sweetness of it, and when it becomes a saccharine particle of saccharine, what you have done is increased sweetness. But then when this sweetness has become maybe infinite, beyond that the tongue says it is bitter. It is a very concentrated particle of sweet. It is so sweet that it does not exhibit any quality of sweetness. Adulterated state of it, sweet. When it is a little less than the infinite, then it is sweet. Bliss, absolute bliss, is a solid mass of happiness, no wave. As if the ocean of water has become ice. Now it cannot create waves. It's just the source of all the waves, but a source not yet appearing in waves. A solidified mass of happiness is bliss. That is why when you transcend what you feel, awareness, it's the most comfortable state of body and mind, but it's not ecstasy. In ecstasy you burst out, ah. How many have experienced sometimes that? Right. Sometimes, ha ha. That is that is in the relative, yet relative. But the absolute state of it is awareness, pure awareness. And that is called bliss, infinite happiness. And when you want to tell the people about bliss, bliss is too far away to be conceived by the people who can't sleep in the night and then full of worries and pleasure. You can tell them happy mood all the time. This is conceivable. Happy mood all the time. If you happen to say bliss consciousness by mistake, you can tell them, when I happen to say bliss consciousness, I mean a sort of happy mood all the time. Just like that. So, that is absolute happiness, and that is not different from us. One thing very important. It's not different from us. It is the nature of our own being. It is the nature of our own self. It is self-realization. It is the cognition of our own pure existence. It's not something that we experience. It is something which we forever are. I am. Amness is bliss. Amness. Even the I is not there. Amness. Existence pure. That is the self, and that is our own essential nature. We don't look forward to experiencing bliss. No. But that when we come to ourselves, we are it. Bliss is our own being. Bliss is our own self. And that is pure awareness, pure existence, unboundedness of life, all that.